It's a Terling Tourism Tuesday, presented by AO Tourism on News Talk WANI.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your News Talk and Information Station. Anthony Terling joins me as we talk tourism, but we also talk snap soccer. How about that?
Soccer is tourism.
Exactly.
Especially what this group does.
Exactly. As John joins us on the WANI hotline as in town, and got him on the hotline because, John, you're a golfer too, is that right?
Trying to be one.
Yeah, he's not in town running a soccer tournament. He's actually staycationing here in the Auburn Opelika area and getting and thankfully the weather is you know, cooperating a little better than last night than what we were thinking.
John, what courses are you set to play today?
Right now we're going through the Trent Jones. We were in Mobile doing Magnolia yesterday, but today we're at Grand National.
And you're going to do the lake or the link side today?
Trying to do lakes if the weather will hold out, so fingers crossed.
Okay, well, that's the better side.
You're going to shamelessly plug your...
Yeah, I do a golf podcast, Dad Bod Golf Pod. So
you're talking to a golfer here. He's a big golfer.
Yeah, it's that's literally it. When I'm not playing radio or doing any sort of play-by-play stuff, I'm hanging out and swinging a golf club somewhere and usually talking about it. So,
well, man, if I'm not taking kids between their own stuff or running soccer tournaments, we try to get on the links. My dad's golfed his whole life, so this is actually, he got myself and my two brothers and him, so we're actually doing the Trent Jones course, spending some quality time, and so we're not doing the sports, we're not doing the kid stuff. Gotta have a little fun as dad too.
That's fantastic. I love it. So
I've been giving John
fits right into the dad body. Yep,
exactly. Sounds like a future guest.
Yeah,
got to tell. Hey, look, you got to tell the listeners about his experience at Grand National.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so I've been sending him some nightlife options. I got John. I'll text you some dinner options. Some good options around here.
Yeah, man. It's also Super Tuesday, so no dinner for me. I'll be up here covering the election later tonight. So, man, John, let's talk snap soccer. I mean, this is an area that has, I mean, even through the years, I mean, I came here in the mid-90s to go to school and never left. But, I mean, soccer's always been a huge thing around these parts, especially me coming from South Alabama, that down in Covington County, that soccer wasn't really a thing. I mean, it was football, basketball, baseball. And I got up here and I just got into a whole new world. And it took off from there and has continued to take off through the years and still seems to be one of the most popular things going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm similar to you. I mean, I grew up in Louisiana, and it was always, you know, you football, baseball, and maybe you do track kind of in the middle. Couldn't shoot the basketball very well, so I just stayed away from that. But growing up, you know, got kids of my own, and naturally it's like the first kind of sports they get into at a young age is soccer. It's, you know, it's affordable, it's easy to get in there, you're playing in your rec leagues, and you kids that aspire, you start traveling around, which is kind of what I got myself into is – you play in your local rec leagues and you get a couple kids that kind of come out of that. Well, they're like, well, hey, let's go play a kid from this town and that town. And so we saw the opportunity was as a dad, I want my weekends to be organized and structured.
Right.
And so if I'm going to go somewhere, I want to start the game on time. I want to get out there on time. I want to make plans. Like Anthony mentioned, like you got restaurants, you got stuff to do. So where Snap came in is we tried to provide the best quality service of, like, we organize these weekends for everybody, and so when they come in town, they not only get to play some great games, we find the best facilities we can, and also trying to let them, you know, be families and enjoy their weekend and go out there and have a ton of fun. But the growth, like you mentioned, has been quite exponential, and we don't see that stopping. I mean, the U.S. is hosting the Copa and eventually the World Cup. I mean, it's I could see us in the next 2 to 3 years see a different level of participation in the game like we've never seen before here in the States.
Well, I mean, just here alone, I mean, it shows you how important it is this area. I mean, the Auburn Soccer Complex down Wire Road has just completely taken a full renovation. Southern Union State Community College right next door just added both men and women's soccer to their lineup and to their athletic programs, which is an all-new thing. It's their first year.
And Opelika is expanding and turfing adding to its existing soccer complex is making a multi-purpose. So, yeah, lots of growth around here.
And as far as Snap is concerned, I mean, I guess my question to you, if you had to give us a breakdown of what Snap is and how people get involved, give us your pitch if you're standing up at the podium having to speak to the local Kiwanis Club and say, hey, this is what we need out of you and this is how we want your kids involved.
Yeah, so the acronym SNAP stands for Soccer Needs for All Programs. That's my wife came up with it years ago, and that's kind of what we always go to stand for. What it's morphed into is the way you get involved with what we do is, like, we work closely with, like, Anthony, for example. Like, we have another soccer tournament coming to Auburn. It's the Auburn Academy Cup, so it's for the younger ages, like 9 to 14. And we're going to have that in April. So if you want to get involved in the sport, the local soccer club, Auburn Soccer Club, we partner with, they provide tons of volunteer hours. They're helping everything get kind of prepared for the weekend, and we're going to be out there just really supporting the kids as they come in town. There's a ton of logistics behind the scenes, and so if you ever wanted to get involved, you reach out to your local soccer club, and there's plenty of things to do. As SNAP itself, we operate weekends like that. I think this year we'll do probably close to, I think we'll have 48 different events throughout the Southeast.
Yeah.
And Auburn's been one of those areas. And, you know, I've got a good friend, and like a shout out to him, Lewis Richard, who's been involved in Auburn soccer since like the 90s.
Yep.
You know, Lewis was a big fan and really wanted to see Auburn soccer grow and grow. And so even just the Wiregrass expansion was something, the Wire Road expansion was something he was like super excited to see. And then, like Anthony mentioned, you got Opelika growing, and the good problem is going to be they're probably going to need to keep expanding as the sport keeps growing. it's like road construction, right? As soon as you finish the project, you got to build another project to keep it up. So it's a good problem to have.
I know that's the way Parks and Rec sometimes feels in this area where population is just expanding. I mean, the state as a whole grew the last census, but obviously pockets. I mean, John's down from L.A., lower Alabama area. He knows very well how much the growth of that of certain areas of Alabama are, and we obviously see that every day in Auburn Opelika.
John, you had 58 teams last year in the Auburn Academy Cup, and you guys are about almost halfway full as far as this year. So is that what you are pushing for, looking for teams right now to join up and head this direction?
Yeah, so it's kind of a niche event. Like some events that we have, we specifically try to focus on specific age groups. A 19-year-old soccer game is very different than a 12-year-old. And so the environment, we want to make sure we're focusing on that environment for the families to have a good time. So at this point, we still have open registration. We've had several other events in the spring already sell out. So this one, we've got a few more opportunities. And honestly, with the goal is to connect soccer clubs and teams that typically don't get to see each other. Mm-hmm. For example, if we get a team to come up from, you know, Pensacola, Florida, or come down from Birmingham, and they get to play a team from Tallahassee or Atlanta, it just provides a different scope. They get to see different uniforms, different styles of play. And so that's ultimately what we're looking for, is trying to find those good connections to allow kids to play each other.
It's funny because I'm looking at the website now, snapsoccer.com, in case you guys are wanting more information on this. And it gives the tournaments. It's the beach tournaments are all filled up.
Wonder why.
Oh, yeah, those fill out fast.
Hey, they're paying. No telling. The beach folks love. John's very familiar with the Foley area and a lot of those great people down there. And they also host. So one of the partnership between us, SNAP, the city, and of course Auburn Soccer Club is two tournaments a year. And the fall one is always a good one. It just has to bounce around football schedule. But John, last year, and the numbers do run together sometimes, but I think the tournament in the fall had close to what, 120 plus teams, and I know there was a waiting list because the turf fields weren't quite ready yet.
Yeah, so it was one of those things, like we did have to put it on a waiting list. And so for those that don't go to soccer tournaments, like basically based on the number of fields, we allocate how many teams we can take in. And once you hit the list, you hit the list. As nice as you want to be, or as nice as you can try to be, it's just no more room for it. So for that specific event, we basically sold out. The turf fields were not, they didn't have the COI on it yet. So basically I tell a bunch of people, thanks for trying to come, but come next year. And we've been in touch with those people. We gave them a nice discount if they're going to come back for this next one. But that fall event, to Anthony's point, we have to navigate a little bit on how we're going to be able to fit it in with the football schedule. Definitely don't want to have a soccer tournament the same weekend as an Auburn home game. So we move around that for sure. But it was super exciting to see that one pop back up, because that fall event was one that I used to coach in 15 years ago. And so it's been really nice to see it come back in, and not only come back, but like basically sell out.
Yep. And if anybody remembers that, it was the Thunder Road Classic that he was speaking of. It used to be held in, I think, the third or fourth week of August, which, my goodness, that is blazing hot. But and so, but yeah, it's you know, it's awesome for us, for AO Tourism, to support a. I remember when I first started sitting down with then the Auburn Thunder, now the Auburn Soccer Club, and the great leadership that they have, and sat down and just talked with them and said, hey, you know, obviously Thunder Road used to be a big thing. How about we bring some more back? They obviously had, they know Snap, me and Snap and John had a relationship prior to this, and the rest is history. And so, and I just want to say, John, thank you. Your staff is awesome to work with, and they make it really easy. This is, they're professionals at what they do. They also run clubs themselves. I mean, so they're coaches, they're dads, they, you know, they also run clubs, so they do a lot. And you know, Snap Soccer, I'll kind of brag on them some, you know, a little bit, is in the world of sports, it's not just about running tournaments and giving kids a good experience and giving the parents a good experience, but it's also the officials that you need to run a quality tournament. John, speak to just a tad bit of what you all do, because we all in the sports world, whether it's youth, especially the youth side, you hear about the shortage of officials. Speak to just real briefly what y'all do to kind of help that.
Absolutely. So about 6 years ago, we got to the point where we started to, our events were growing, but our referee pool was not. And we could obviously point the blame and say, well, this association or that association. And the way soccer referees work is you do have to become certified. You can't just pull somebody in. They have to go through a process. They have to get background check. They got to pass tests. So, and it does cost money. And so to get somebody certified is not something you can do overnight. So we as a company have invested heavily and the referee education and mentoring. So, like, I have a 15-year-old daughter. She's a referee. I look at that situation to say, how can I help her not only become good at this, she can make some money, but I also got to protect her. Because if somebody's on the sidelines, maybe they don't understand the game, and they start going off, and they're getting loud, and it's hard because culturally, like, we're at a football game on a Friday night. We're inside, you know, a football stadium on Saturday, we're screaming, we're yelling at the TV. It's like, as a culture, we like to yell and scream and raise our voice when we as fans don't understand. At a soccer field, it's a very different environment because, like, there is no stand, there is no barrier, like, there's a line.
It's a white line.
Feet separating you from potentially a child. And, you know, I think sometimes we lose focus and we lose sight of that. So we have installed an entire program where we not only bring in mentors and help these people, and we've had kids coming off and they're crying because they think they made a bad call, and we try to build them back up, build their confidence. They also, they get paid very well. Most of our officials make $300 to $500 in a weekend if they're working a weekend tournament. So the money piece was not the ultimate piece. It was the education and the support. And then now, like, fast forward, we run a referee. It's kind of like the best of the best, the ones that are supporting the events the most. We do this big thing in Foley every year where, you know, we're going to bring in some of the top referee mentors from the country. These are the guys you see doing MLS games, and they're mentoring. So that it's very expensive for us as a company. But one thing we haven't had to say is, oh, hey, you know, I'm sorry, we don't have enough referees to cover your game. Like, we've been very fortunate. The referees have bought into it. They are supporting us the way we're supporting them. So most of our events, when you show up, even if it's over 200 teams, we have enough of our referees. And it's been a blessing and allowed us to keep growing. Without them, we couldn't be. You definitely don't want to see youth soccer without officials. Let me just say that. Like, any youth sport, we need those officials. So for them not to be there would be a lot worse than just working through some of the details on finding that way that it connects. But no matter what sport you're in.
Completely agree. Well, John, I'm gonna let you go, and then Anthony and I are going to wrap things up. How can they find out more information? I know that the easiest way is probably just go to the website, snapsoccer.com.
Yeah. If you go to snapsoccer.com, if you find that there's an event, like, in your area and you want to come out and support or, you know, be a part of it, reach out to us. Or if you're, you know, parent wanting to sign up, or a person maybe wants to become official, it's all there on snapsoccer.com. And big plug to, you know, Anthony and his team. It's been a big goal to help, you know, work with him and his team and get Auburn soccer on the youth side just more and more on the map. And I see nothing but good roads ahead with everything we're building. So, as always, enjoy it, Anthony. And, yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
I hope the weather holds off and you hit them well today, okay?
Yep.
I appreciate it, man.
Enjoy the boys' trip.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thank you, John.
All right, later, y'all.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your news, talk, and information station. Quick break, and then we'll wrap things up with Anthony here momentarily.
Auburn Opelika's news, talk, and information station.
News Talk, WANI.
Like this morning, the outdoorsman
market Anthony research.
Anthony Turling joins me. We got a couple of minutes left, and we got to wrap things up. And then Joey's going to join me on the other side. We're going to preview the Opelika City Council meeting. No Auburn City Council meeting tonight. Super Tuesday, but it is also spring break, so they pushed it back to the next week. So they'll do 2 weeks in a row in Auburn. So we'll visit with Joey here momentarily to talk about Opelika. So what else we need to get to? You got Snap Soccer.
We're going to go from Snap Soccer to we talk golf. Now we're going to talk glamping.
Yes.
I can speak from experience.
I can too. I've done it.
We did so. I knew you had. You did it at Lake Martin, right?
Yeah, we did it at Wynn.
Is it Wynn Creek? Okay, so yeah. It's at Wynn Creek at Lake Martin. Does it look out over the water?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the view I didn't have. But
It looks out over the water. The only thing that I wish they would fix is where you enter the water. It's super rocky, and it's not. It's not. For little kids, by any means.
It's not like a sandy entry.
No, it is for, I will say the one at Lake Martin is for adults. I'd say your kid needs to probably be 10 or older.
Gotcha. My six-year-old.
The water's shallow, but it's just super rocky, and it's not for kids.
Did y'all do any of the, the extra, and anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, we're talking about glamping at state parks. It's basically glamorous camping.
Yes.
My mom picked up on it in, 5 minutes. She was like, is that glamorous camping? I said, yeah, it is.
It is. Literally air conditioners and heaters in the tent.
Yes, and bathrooms and shower. Well, a bathroom and shower.
They do not have that at Lake Martin.
Okay, so Chewakla
is better in that regard.
Well, Chewakla's better anyway.
You have to walk to the bathhouse at Lake Martin.
And you've got that option.
Now, let me just say.
It's a bathhouse.
When the girls had to do that.
Oh, gosh.
At 10:30 at night.
Oh.
It is a little different story than having one in your tent with you.
We stayed in one that had. And all we have is. We have a six-year-old. And then we did bring our two dogs. And one's a St. Bernard Retriever, and then other's a seven-month-old Rottweiler. So she's not as big yet, but she's still big. And it was very roomy. I mean, if you can imagine a giant tent, nice tent, up on a platform with a porch. It's got string lights. It's got a campfire. It's got a grill right there. It's got a little picnic area. And then inside, you can imagine we had a king-size bed with two sets of bunk beds.
Yep.
And then it has a wall behind the bed that's kind of a privacy little section to where that's your bathroom, your shower, and your toilet. And then you have a miniature fridge, which I love. It's a very old school.
It is.
80s, 70s fridge.
They do have that too.
It's got a Keurig. Yeah. It's got, it's got everything you need. And then it has these add-ons. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you. We got there on Sunday night. My son loves outdoors. My son loves to just do all that. And so we're like, hey, simple spring break, little trip, stay in town.
Yep.
But he loved it, And so and we met a few other people that wanted to come see him. And we were like, yeah, we live 10 minutes from here. And they're like, oh, we do too.
Yeah.
And it's like I see so many people just using this opportunity to kind of get out. The people we talk to say they come out here all the time or to Chewakla.
Well, we would have done
just to get away from the normal hustle and bustle.
They weren't complete yet.
Gotcha.
So that's why we did the lake.
I want to say there's six, seven sites at Chewakla.
This was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, they've only been up for 6 months.
Yep.
And it's literally, I described it to the individual that was coming. They really just wanted to come see what they were like. They're planning a future family reunion. Mm-hmm. And so when my wife booked them, you could book extra add-ons. And so for my six-year-old, there was a scavenger hunt that you could do to add on. And imagine you walking into your, quote, hotel and everything being right there.
Yep.
That's what it is. Yep. They have someone that works for a group called Timberline.
Yep.
And they basically are the vendor of this that you book through, and then they're literally like your concierge. Like, my wife called them within 20 minutes. We had three bundles of firewood brought to us.
Yeah.
And then the lady the next morning setting up for the next guest, and I was like, do you live around here? She's like, yeah, we work for Timberline and just live around here, so when y'all need something, we're right here. And I mean, changing light bulbs on the string lights, it's just customer service. And so, there's so many different add-ons that we had a spore kit. I told my wife last night, I was like, we were gypped growing up. We had the worst marshmallows. These were legit.
Oh, there they are.
legit marshmallows. Like, if anybody knows, it's not the like Walmart.
We did
brand.
The same thing. By the way, I think it's the same company, Timberline, that runs
that
one.
They run the whole. So the way I understand it is Album State Parks, they utilize them to run the vendor part. But then the way I also have found out, they're individually owned.
Yes.
So, like, if you book at Cheehaw or if you book at Martin, Lake Martin or Chewakla, it's all individual groups, but Timberline's kind of the vendor running it. So, I would recommend to anyone, go check it out.
Go glamping.
That's what tourism's all about. A, I get to have fun with my family. I personally paid for it. It wasn't paid for by tourism, but it's market research. It really is. And, like, it was an opportunity to go have fun with my family, but it really was something now I can say, hey, to any visitor, it's a great option.
Let me throw this disclaimer out there. It is a tent.
It is a tent.
So if you're thinking that it is going to be like a hotel where there's no, there's outdoor noises and
we heard all kinds of owls,
animals, and yeah. Yep. So
and if there's an early riser, I mean, you're out there with the campers, you're out there with the, you know, there was people from Canada next to us, you know. So.
I mean, yes, there is a bathroom in there. It's still a tent.
Yep.
Keep that in mind.
Yep, and it does have an AC unit and heat, you know. But
just a tent with a bed.
It's probably not something you want to go. The guy that came and asked us was like, how's the AC work? And I said, well, when are you looking to bring your family? And he was like, July. I said, can't tell you how that works. I said, but I can imagine
that's
it's
when we
pretty
did it.
Decent.
We did it over the summer. It works great. It's
I mean,
great.
First night, Sunday night, and, was a little cool.
And they turn it on for you before you get there.
Oh, it's already set. Like, I watched the lady, like, set up. And she literally, like, I mean, it literally, you walk in and you got fresh towels. You got, I mean, it's like walking into a hotel. Mm-hmm. Just, you're in a tent.
It's awesome.
It's a nice
I highly recommend. So how do they get in touch with you, man?
AOTourism.com.
I love it. Volunteer AO as well. As, they are always looking for volunteers. Find out more about Snap Soccer by going to snapsoccer.com. Find out about the upcoming tournaments. Book now if you have a team that you want to get in. The reason being, it even says on the website like what percentage they are as far as filling up. And if you don't go to snapsoccer.com, go to AOTourism.com for more information.
This is Auburn Opelika This Morning with Ben Taylor.
News Talk, WANO.